Live from the American Gulf Coast, it's the Dave Nemo Show.
I think you're of the same mind as I am. You want to get rolling into this hour with Bridget Blitz, who is a partner at Taylor & Associates Attorneys at Law, because it's time for Protecting Your Livelihood. And today we're going to talk about corporations. Should you have one? Do you have one? Is it the right one? If it's not, can you do something about that? How do you start? Where do you start? Why do you start? What kind of corporation do you form? And we're going to dig in, and I mean dig into all of those topics. This program is designed to kind of stretch through maybe two or possibly even three installments, because Bridget is also going to take your calls along the way. And as I mentioned earlier, you don't need me to tell you that if you want to start a small business, man, there's no better place than trucking to make that happen. And sometimes you can start with one man in one truck, and the next thing you know, you got 1,000 of them. Or you may start with one person in one truck and stay that way, or get two or three. But at any rate, trucking is the perfect entrepreneurial opportunity for the business world here in the U.S., and it still is. So that's what we're going to talk about today, business, big and small, with Bridget Blitz, and we'll be right back.
Hope your rig runs like a top and your engine keeps it cool. Hope Bridget's all a 16.5 and your road is straight and smooth. Hope you quit when you want to quit. Hope you ride when you want to ride. Good luck, good trucking tonight. I hope you quit when you want to quit. Hope you ride when you want to ride. Good luck, good trucking tonight.
You know it, football season is here. And then there's you probably not watching the game. Well, no more missing out. I'm talking you kicking back to live football in your cab. If you're a company driver, you have the chance to get Epic View. They work with your fleet to get DirecTV with NFL Sunday Ticket installed in your cab at no cost to you. Go to tvformytruck.com. Follow the instructions to request Epic View for your company. TVForMyTruck.com, where downtime is game time. TVForMyTruck.com.
Have you heard the news? Rand McNally just announced the release of their newest truck-specific GPS, the TND740. This cutting-edge fifth-generation device has been redesigned in and out. It includes a quad-core processor for lightning-fast route calculations, updated maps and icons, and an easy-on, easy-off magnetic mount. The TND740 also features over-the-air updates, so you can be sure that you always have the latest maps. Learn more at randmcnally.com/TND740.
Well, let's not waste any time. Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning, Dave.
Bridget Blitz, everybody, partner at Taylor & Associates. It's time for Protecting Your Livelihood. Great topic. Can't wait to launch into this. But I was going to ask you, why did you pick this topic today? Do you get a lot of these questions on a day-to-day basis in your practice?
I do, Dave. This is one of the probably most common areas of my practice that I get questions on from the person who is looking to acquire one truck to companies that have hundreds of trucks and are looking just to make sure that they are structuring or have structured their operations correctly. So it's something that I spend a lot of time on with families across the country, and I thought it was kind of interesting, and it will marry up with Tim's show tomorrow morning in the email that he got concerning somebody who's interested in starting their own trucking business, because as you mentioned, this is such a great industry to get started in, and I want to just share my insight and experience with the audience and kind of explore some of the issues that I explore with my clients when we get new business formations or we're looking at structuring.
Well, you're absolutely right. I'm surprised you got up that early, but yeah, Tim got that email from the guy, and I thought about you when we were talking about him. So we have folks who have their own companies, and maybe we could just start with the one person, one truck, and then kind of move from there to kind of keep it maybe as basic as we can. So you got a corporation, and there's an S Corp. What is that? And then you have the LLC. That is your limited liability corporation. You have partnerships, and then you have sole proprietorship. Is the sole proprietorship where most folks start out, and is that a good place to be?
Yeah, so often what will happen is we will get a call from an owner-operator that has been leased on to a motor carrier's authority, and they decide that they want to get their own authority, and they already have their truck. So we'll take the step of helping them get their own motor carrier authority. And, of course, then the next question will be is what type of entity do you want to establish for your business? And where are you located, or where do you want your business to run from? So we obviously advise against the sole proprietorship, because that just means that you individually and all your assets that you own, including the truck, are going to be subject to a garnishment or judgment in the event of some catastrophic claim. So the selection of a corporate entity is important, because we want to give that owner some limited liability protection. So the initial discussion is, where are you based out of? Let's say you're based out of Florida. Often it's going to be convenient for that person to establish or incorporate in the state where they're going to have their principal place of business. And we'll discuss, do you want to be a corporation, an Inc., or do you want to be a limited liability corporation where you as an owner are going to be considered a member instead of a shareholder? And then, you know, we get questions, well, what's the difference with partnerships? Well, partnerships are typically entities that are formed when the partners are required to be professionally licensed, so attorneys, accountants, doctors, dentists, things of that nature. So the most common types of entities, and again, this is going to be often a state-specific issue, so the caveat is always consult with your qualified counsel in your state where you're looking to incorporate. But the next step is, okay, what's the advantages of a corporation versus a limited liability company? And so often the common selection is a limited liability company based, for example, in Florida, because of the flexibility that the owners have in running that company. It's important when you're having your conversation with your counsel about what entity you want to choose from is, well, what is my state going to require me to do? If I'm a corporation, for example, in Florida, I have to have an annual meeting. Am I prepared to have an annual meeting? Will I keep up with my minutes? Will I keep up with my due diligence? And unfortunately, that doesn't always happen. And we'll address some of those scenarios down the road. So an LLC can be a popular selection from an individual's perspective, just because of the ease in maintaining that corporate entity and not having to make sure that they have that annual meeting or keep those minutes. Instead, they will create an operating agreement with their counsel, for which they say, here's how I'm going to run my business. And it can be as simple as, here's my corporate name, here's where I'm incorporated, here's what's going to happen in the event of any transfer of my membership interests, death or disability, and things of that nature. So those are conversations that we have initially starting the gate. But obviously, as with all legal questions, it doesn't just end there. We have considerations to think about with respect to the actual transportation business. And as, you know, Tim's caller alluded to, is that there's the opportunity for growth, and that we want our clients to have that structure in place So as they have that productive and healthy growth in their operations, they're not going to have to modify their structure. So let's take, for example, the situation where we have the one owner-operator that wants to incorporate. So we start with getting motor carrier authority in an entity, but the next question is, well, who is going to own the power unit, right? Because the power unit is an asset, and as those assets start to grow and you get one truck and all of a sudden you're at 20 trucks, you're talking about a substantial investment now that, God forbid, in the event of a catastrophic claim, is going to be subject to judgment. So the next piece that we look at is this overarching structure of, well, how do we protect our assets when we incorporate? And I don't know, Dave, I'll pop quiz. Do you have any thoughts on what the how to protect your power units?
Get a good lawyer.
Right answer. That's always a good get qualified counsel. That's right. So the what we recommend is that you have a separate entity, an equipment leasing company that you establish that is going to own the equipment. So the biggest exposure that you have when you start your company and you run your company is going to be your motor carrier authority, because that's what is allowing the company to operate and transport product across the country. So if there is a accident, a motor vehicle accident, we know that the plaintiff's lawyers are going to sue, what, of course, the motor carrier company. And if the equipment, the trucks and the trailers, the forklifts, everything that you've acquired, maybe you even have real property that you run your business on, if all of that is in that same entity with the motor carrier authority, guess what? All of those assets are going to be subject to a judgment. So if you get an excess verdict of over $1 million and you don't have insurance to protect you, the plaintiff's lawyers are going to start executing on that judgment, and they're going to start issuing writs of attachment and seizing that those assets, you know, subject to whatever financing is on that, getting the property, anything to satisfy the judgment. So it's very serious. Consequence, unfortunately, when things, and we've talked about when the worst case scenario happens. So this is like one of my, the thing that I enjoy most, because we are taking proactive steps to protect businesses, to protect the families that have created legacies or are going to create legacies that will live on for generations to come by getting them the right structure. So we start with getting the motor carrier authority and the corporate entity. Then we establish an equipment leasing company that is going to own the assets. And then we look at, well, what other types of business operations do you want to run, right? So
Can I ask a question here just quickly? Let's say a guy named Larry buys a truck, comes to you, gets his corporation started, and then you say, well, now, you know, you have your power unit there, but we want you to start another company that will own that power unit. So is that where you see stuff like, okay, the name of the company is Lawrence Transportation, DBA, doing business as Larry's Trucking? Is that what you see, when you see that, is that what's going on?
Well, that...
Not really?
You
don't want to know from me. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah. Okay, so you do have branding where there is a name that the customers know the name. And maybe it's they have a the trucking company now that has branched out into a brokerage operation, or maybe it's multiple trucking companies and they trademark a name, right? So that they use that to market. So often when we have, and this is obviously there's different situations for everything, but where we often see a DBA designation is where there's been maybe a prior name that the company has been formed under, but now the name that everybody knows, that the customers know, that the brokers know is this other name, so you have the DBA. And it's a marketing tool. And you can trademark that name so that no one can use that name. The equipment leasing company, its purpose is to help protect those assets that are being held in that company. The equipment leasing company is not going to do any other activity besides just hold title to that equipment and lease it to the motor carrier company. Or if it's an owner-operator model where a motor carrier contracts out and leases out its motor carrier authority to an independent contractor, you could have a equipment lease agreement with an owner-operator whereby that driver leases the equipment from the equipment leasing company. Of course, as we know, that leaseback program has been subject to challenge in many jurisdictions, but that is a scenario that we encounter. So the DBA designation doesn't have so much to do with the equipment leasing company. The equipment leasing company's function is to protect those power unit, those assets in the company. And so from a federal defense perspective, the reason why that model has been recognized in the industry, and I think this is something we've talked about briefly, or may have mentioned this, is the statute called the Graves Amendment. And the Graves Amendment states that if the company is solely in the business of leasing equipment and is not negligent, independently negligent, or has incurred some criminal wrongdoing, that company shouldn't be liable for the actions of the motor carrier, meaning that if a motor vehicle accident occurs and there was some negligence on the part of the motor carrier in maintaining the equipment, not the equipment leasing company, because remember, all the equipment leasing company is doing is just holding title to that equipment, then we, from a defense counsel perspective, whether we're assigned as defense counsel, whether we're monitoring a case with defense counsel, we say, has that defense been asserted to protect the assets of the equipment leasing company? So you can start with your one truck, but then as you continue to grow and build equipment, we want to build the credit in the equipment leasing company and add that equipment to that particular entity so that the only asset that you have in your motor carrier company is just your motor carrier authority.
Okay, and it's the same guy. So if Larry starts his own company, corporation or LLC, does it work the same for both where he would have that leasing company? So if he gets in an accident, they say, well, we're going to take that truck and everything you have. And he says, well, no, wait a minute. Can't take the truck because it doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to Larry's trucking. It belongs to Larry's leasing. Is that the fence that you build?
So there's actually another layer to that, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay. three level chess here.
Okay, we're gonna stack this pretty high, Dave. All right, so we've got the assets with the trucks and the trailers and the equipment leasing. We've got the motor carrier authority in the motor carrier. Now the question is, who owns the motor carrier company and who owns the equipment leasing company? So if you have, let's say, one individual, that Larry, that owns both companies, well, guess what? What's the concern? That we know that the plaintiff, SPAR, is going to name every possible entity and person that they can in the event of a motor vehicle accident. So when you have the ownership then directly identified in the motor carrier company, we often see that those individual owners get named in the lawsuit. And the theory is that the plaintiff's lawyers will try to pierce the corporate veil. They will try to get to that individual owner. So if it's an LLC, the member of Larry would be our single member manager of that LLC. And that's why when I had the initial discussion about where you select your corporate, whether you do a corporation or whether you do an LLC, and why that's important is because you have to maintain your corporate due diligence. If you don't maintain your corporate books or follow your operating agreement, that's a check mark in the plaintiff's box, because they're going to say, well, you're disregarding your corporate entity, the whole purpose for your limitation of liability. And let's say Larry cut a couple checks to pay his mortgage from his company, right? All of a sudden, he's paying personal expenses from his business operating account. Oh, that's another check in the box for the plaintiff's lawyers, right? And then what if we have loans that, oh, Larry decides, you know, I need to take some money out of the business to pay for my own personal expenses. Well, you know, we don't document those loans, and now all of a sudden he's paying for his personal expenses in addition to, let's say, his mortgage and anything else, and now he's subject himself and his personal assets to liability exposure in the event of a judgment. So the process of incorporating, while, you know, it's relatively easy in terms of the state filing, what you do after that is so important, because it's going to affect what happens, God forbid, in the event of an accident. So this leads me to, how do we build another layer of protection for that owner? So we adhere to our corporate due diligence. We don't commingle assets. We don't use business money for personal expenses. But the other piece that we build into this is we establish what is called a holding company. And so this is the entity that is going to own either the membership interest, if it's an LLC, or the stock interest in the company. And that is specifically the motor carrier, as well as the equipment leasing company. And then Larry is now the owner of the holding company. So Larry doesn't directly own the motor carrier. He doesn't directly own the interest in the equipment leasing company. Instead, he owns the stock to the holding company. And the holding company owns either, if they're both, let's say, LLCs, the membership interest in the motor carrier and the equipment leasing company. So that means when a lawsuit's filed, that there's now that extra layer that in order for the plaintiff to get to Larry, he's going to have, or she's going to have to establish that not only was the holding company disregarding corporate formalities, but so was Larry at that top layer. So we continue to stack, but we're building firewalls, and we're doing this to protect. And that you can do this from, if you've got one truck, right? You start with one truck, and as you continue to grow and add trucks and trailers, it's going to be that same model.
We'll hold what we have right here because we are so close to the break. We'll come back on the other side. Bridget Blitch is with us, of course, protecting your livelihood. Bridget is a partner at Taylor & Associates Attorneys at Law. And if you have some questions or observations, by all means, give us a call. She looks forward to talking to you one-on-one. 615-292-6366. 615-292-6366. And Bridget will join us for the second half of Protecting Your Livelihood right after news and weather.
Stronger than moonshine. You're gonna go. I know.
back to the Dave Nemo Show.
And right back to protecting your livelihood. Bridget Blitch is with us, of course, this morning. And Bridget, I'll tell you what, the phone's filled up. So why don't we take a few calls here and, right to your neighborhood in Florida. Ron is with us on the line. So, Ron, good morning, and you're on with Bridget now.
Hey, well, good morning. I have a company that I established probably 6 or 7 years ago, but in my name. I've got two trucks and two trailers and my authority and everything, the loans on the trailers, the registrations, everything is in my name. How would you go about switching something that's already established like that?
Well, a couple of things is when we encounter companies where the owner has the same name as the corporate entity, that's not necessarily an issue. The concern is, are you doing your due diligence in terms of your corporate filings, keeping up with your corporate books? You can do a name change in the state of Florida to change your name if you wanted to do that. And then the other part of your question, I understand, is you've got assets, the trucks, trailers, finance agreements, things that are in your name that you've guaranteed or that you've signed off on?
Yeah, everything. I'm not incorporated whatsoever. Everything is under a sole proprietorship.
Oh, okay. All right. So then in those situations, I do recommend incorporating. And what we do with companies that already, or sole proprietorships that are existing that have financing agreement in place with trucks and trailers, is we work with the finance companies to advise, we're putting the structure in place. The structure is not only to protect the ownership, but also to protect the assets, which are their liabilities that they've extended financing on. So it's very common for us to work with financial institutions when we're structuring companies to advise them and say, here's the structure that we're proposing for our client. We want to amend the finance agreements to have those be put in the name of the corporate entity. Now, obviously, some of the concerns that we get from the financial institutions is, do you have any credit that will support us taking on that liability on the name of the company? And so there are situations where they will say, well, we will go ahead and modify the finance agreements, but we're going to still require the ownership to have and personally guarantee the finance,
right,
whether it's for a lease or for a line of credit. So that is something that we're always trying to achieve for our clients, and it can take years, obviously, to establish the credit and the infrastructure to the point where you are able to get out of the personal guarantee situation. So it is very common that the banks will try to encumber everything and with UCC filings, with tying up your assets as well as personal guarantees. But it's never too late to start to incorporate, at least give yourself the insulation of a limited liability protection and working towards that structure to protect the flow of assets. That is the receivables that are coming into your operations, to put those in the right entities, and that's something I haven't quite touched on yet, but also then to structure your company and move those assets to an equipment leasing company. So if you're
out of... What about as far as my authority?
So
my authority is already in a sole proprietorship.
Right. So we work with the FMCSA to do a change of ownership, and one of the things that we look at, and it's a case-by-case scenario, obviously, is to make sure that there's not going to be a change in your DOT number. You may be able to keep the same MC number, right? But
yes,
the DOT number is associated with your name. So we look at those on a case-by-case basis to see what we can do for you there, because obviously I know you've got age and investment in the DOT number.
Right. Okay. Well, who do I call to actually start the ball rolling on all this?
I can give you recommendations of qualified transportation law counsel across the country. So
okay.
happy to assist.
All right. All right. Well, okay, I just, like I said, I didn't know if I was, too little too late waiting, this long, and I guess being lucky this long as a sole proprietor. I've established my the carrier in Florida as an intrastate carrier, but I've, like I said, I've had my authority for about 6 years or so, and everything is unfortunately in my name. But I just didn't know, it's ever too late to go ahead and start changing everything.
No, it's always exciting when we get the call that somebody says we're ready to structure our company. We want to make sure we do it correctly. We thoroughly review operations and make sure that we get you the right structure in place, not only from a corporate perspective for you, but also from a tax perspective. So we'll often work with the CPAs and also the finance companies just to make sure that everything is going to be seamless, not just with respect to the legal approach and the business approach, but also the tax approach as well. But it's not too late.
All right.
Definitely
not. Is it a very expensive process?
I can't speak for other firms, but I would like to think that we are competitive, that we help folks all across the board, from the owner-operator to the companies that have hundreds of power units. We're all here right. to serve the families and the businesses.
And you're based out of Florida?
I am, yes. I'm out of Winter Haven, Central Florida.
Okay, all right. Well, we're out of Land O'Lakes, so we're not far from you.
But, oh, no, not at all, Ron.
Who would I call? You got your number?
Yeah, Dave.
It's Taylor and Associates.
Okay.
And I don't have the phone number right in front of me here, Bridget.
All right.
But,
well, if, yeah,
but if you have.
Sure, my phone number is 863-875-6950.
Okay.
Yeah, and any one of our team happy to help you.
I'll give them a call and see if we can't help stave off the luck that I've had for 7 years.
Well, congratulations. I mean, you're doing it right, and we're very blessed that nothing has happened at this point. So, but it's never too late.
Ron, thank you very much for your call. And Bridget, let's head up to Maine, from Florida to Maine. How do you like that? And Travis is with us on the line. Travis, good morning. You're on with Bridget now.
Good morning, Dave and Bridget. How are you?
Great, thanks.
Great, Travis. Thank you.
My question for Bridget is, I already have an LLC. It's my company's Peace Logistics LLC out of Maine, already incorporated through the state. And it's been incorporated for 2 years. But now when I do my taxes, they're telling me, because I'm a single member, they're telling me I have to do my personal income tax along with my business. I try to keep everything separate. I mean, I pay myself separately. I take out an I-99 for me, and then I get the one from the carrier that I'm leased to for the business. And then, of course, all of my tolls and my truck expenses are separate, but they keep adding everything together. And I'm trying to find out if they're doing it wrong or if they're putting me in the position that if I have an accident, it automatically sets me up for the whole thing is, okay, well, this guy is the owner, so.
Right.
And
I've only got
one to two trucks.
Right. No, I understand. So there's the two schools approaches, right, that we as attorneys look at the legal aspect of your company, and that's fine if you're a member, you're a single member LLC, and that from a legal perspective, we make sure that you're adhering to your corporate formalities and your due diligence. The other side of this is the tax perspective, right? And so that when we structure companies, we work with the accountants, with the CPAs on the tax side of things. So I don't give tax advice. What I can tell you, though, is that what you're telling me and what I've heard from CPAs sounds consistent with the LLC approach. So I would rely on your tax advisors who are telling you, yes, the consolidating filing with an LLC is the appropriate tax filing for the type of entity that you're structured. I have not seen, and I can tell you this from a litigation perspective, where the fact that because you have that consolidated tax filing, that is a disregard of the corporate entity, that is the LLC that you've established, right? So
right.
And I hope that answers your question, that there is certainly the tax advantages that you have with that structure and with other structures that we propose for our clients where there's tangible tax advantages that just happen to marry up with legal defenses that we've also are able to utilize with that structure. So as long as you're complying with your state laws, corporate due diligence, the state statutes in terms of what you need to do to maintain your LLC, whether that's your annual filings, maintaining the due diligence in your operating agreement for your LLC, all the aspects that go along with due diligence, and I'm abbreviating this here and this, as a general principle, right? That's one of the key steps. And as long as you're not paying for personal expenses out of your company, right, not taking a company check from your operating and paying a car lease, right, you're paying only business expenses out of your business operating account.
Right. Because my truck is a lease truck. It's through a leasing company, and of course the truck is in my name, not mm-hmm. in the company's name.
Mm-hmm.
And my CPA said that would be fine because she said in a court of law they can only go after what the company has, not what the individual has. And I'm like, okay. And then, like I do, is when the week comes up, I turn around and I pay myself. I show a payroll deduction out of the business account to pay me, of course.
So right. So a couple of things here, just generally, is that what we see when a motor vehicle accident happens is that the plaintiff's lawyers are going to look up the title owner of the equipment, that is the tractor and the trailer, and they will name the individual or the entity that is the owner of the tractor or trailer, right or wrong, right? And it's our job or as defense counsel to make sure that we assert the defenses that, for example, the equipment leasing company should not be liable, which is why I advocate for that separate equipment leasing company to get the name off your individual name or an individual's name off of that equipment, because we do know that, unfortunately, they will throw darts at everything that they can to try to get from wherever they can money to satisfy a judgment or to put pressure to compel, let's say, a policy limits payout.
Okay, so I should have them turn around and change the lease from my name to my carrier name.
As a caveat, I mean, every case is different, and I always look at individual cases specifically to make sure that there's nothing that we need to address. But as a general matter, I like to see that the individual owner of the company is not identified as the title owner on the equipment. Rather, that preferably we have that in equipment leasing company. If right now it's your motor vehicle company, then it's the motor vehicle company. Just to remove yourself or that individual owner directly from the line of fire from plaintiff's counsel in the event of an accident.
All right. Well, I'll work on that.
All right.
Thank you.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks so much for your call this morning.
Travis, thank you very much. Bridget Blitch is with us, Protecting Your Livelihood. Bridget is a partner at Taylor & Associates Attorneys at Law in Florida. We'll be right back.
I'm a happy, go lucky truck driver. I'm a happy, go lucky truck driver.
Stat Brothers is offering something unique through October 31st. When you get your full-service mobile Delvac heavy-duty diesel engine oil change for $219.99, something very cool happens.
Save that receipt, text oil change to 24587, and after your easy online redemption, you'll get a $25 prepaid Visa e-card.
And that brings your total down to $194.99, and don't forget your free steak dinner.
So choose mobile Delvac for your next oil change at Stat Brothers.
Where they do the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
Hey, that's my line.
This is Ton Ostergaard with Creek Carrier Corporation. I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you. Thank you to all of America's truck drivers that are out there safely delivering America's freight. Truly, without truck drivers, America stops. And with that, I want to again say thank you to all the Creek Carrier, Schaefer, and Hunt drivers. And those of you that aren't drivers with Creek Carrier, this is a great opportunity to join our team. Please take a moment to check us out at creekcarrier.com. Thank you again, and be safe.
You bought a truck so you could have control over your business, but in reality, you rely on brokers, and that costs you a lot of money while you waste time tracking down loads and payment. Load Express changes all that. You deal with the shipper directly. You take back control. Load Express matches you with freight from qualified shippers and guarantees fast payment, and it's free. The shipper pays, not you. LoadExpress.com. It's time for you to try a new way to move freight. Deal direct. No brokers. LoadExpress.com. Good morning, Dave Nemo with you as we continue, and Bridget Blitch is with us, Taylor & Associates, and we're talking protecting your livelihood this morning. And on the program today, of course, Bridget is walking through, well, trying to lead us through the different types of corporations and the partnerships and the dangers of sole proprietorship. We're going to get a summary of what we've talked about here this morning in just a moment. But Bridget, before we go, let's go to Ohio, and Patrick is with us on the line. And Patrick, good morning, and go right ahead with Bridget now.
Hey, Bridget, good morning.
Good morning, Patrick.
I am with a company doing a lease operator thing with them. I just ended up starting doing this, so this is my first time doing this here. Anyways, is there a way of how I could be able to get started with growing a business more with the company that I'm with having numerous trucks?
So you're leased on to another motor carrier's operating authority at the present time?
Yes.
Okay. And your goal is you want to add more trucks to that operating authority or on a lease arrangement, or are you looking at some point to establish your own company?
I'm looking to eventually establish my own company, but just wanted to try to get up like a number of trucks on me, you know, with me to start that.
Sure, sure.
And get, you know, my own authority and all that type of stuff.
Absolutely. No, and I think that's a wonderful goal to work towards. So we certainly see that. That's one of the stepping stools to getting your own authority is starting and leasing on with another motor carrier's operating authority. And you probably have an independent contractor agreement where you at least at this point have maybe one truck that's leased onto their operating authority, and you can certainly add more equipment that you run under that operating authority. And so a lot of times the question will be, you know, from your individual financing perspective, is when you're looking at getting financing, what assets do you have, what collateral do you have in order to have healthy growth, right? Because we don't want to accelerate the point where you have so so many liabilities that you're not actually making money on the equipment that you're running. So we look from the starting point of how can we get you one truck at a time to a point where now you've maybe got several trucks that you're running and that you're effectively making money off of those operations, to the point where at some point you may be able to then branch out and have your own operating authority. But we want to make sure when you do that, right, if you were to go and then start your own operating authority, one of the number one expenses to running a trucking company is insurance. So if you've now been successful in acquiring, let's say, 5 to 10 trucks, but yet you don't have history, right, that is the history of running the trucking company and having that those insurance runs to look back on, the cost of insurance can be very expensive. So oftentimes and there's a number of different approaches that we look to this scenario, but I just wanted to alert the audience to that potential scenario and you to that potential scenario as well. While you may get the assets, the other piece to this is there's a lot of other costs of operation to running a trucking company, auto liability insurance being one of them. And one of the things that we always do when we work with the with our clients is working with the underwriters to let them know, yes, but we have your operations. They are structured properly to provide the best available defenses in the event of litigation. So those underwriters are going to scrutinize your operations very carefully. So too much growth, too rapid growth, maybe you have the equipment, doesn't mean that you'll be able to afford the insurance or the other costs of operations when you do decide to get that authority. So we work through all those phases. And it's important that the audience work and you work with qualified counsel to make sure that you get where you want to go once you've achieved that point.
Okay. I know my company ended up mentioning that if I do get a second truck, that they would just, I would lease on with that truck as well. And then I would just have to find somebody that would drive that truck. And then they would pay me, and then I would pay that other driver. That would be kind of like a start of it.
Yeah, so that's one approach to growth. And the benefit that you have when you're leasing on to another motor carrier's authority is that statutorily, the motor carrier company is required to maintain the auto liability. And now there are some companies that will charge that back as a cost and expense of operation. And from an independent contractor model, that's something that is in a best practice so that you're already used to actually paying those premiums. You're already factoring that in as a cost of operation. So the next piece to this is, yes, you'll continue to profit from having additional equipment, and that's right. You may have multiple pieces of equipment leased onto the operating authority and other drivers that are going to be working for you. But, again, we're talking about creating the company, too. We want to make sure that you have a company, that this is not just you individually, because now all of a sudden you're paying other contractors and there's employment liability concerns that get implicated. So there's a whole, it opens up a whole other door of discussions as well.
Okay. Is there any information that I could be able to get separate from on here that I can look on to for having the information to start the process?
I will send Dave some good articles if anybody has some questions on just general corporate formation, due diligence, some of the things to consider, and stepping stones.
Well, thank you for that, Bridget. Thank you, Patrick, for being part of the program this morning. Good luck. Bridget, thank you so much. And we'll continue on the topic next month here on Protecting Your Livelihood with Bridget Blitch from Taylor and Associates.
Sounds
news
great.
And weather coming up next here on the Dave Nemo Show. Forrest Lucas from Lucas Oil Products joins us. He's going to be talking about the coalition to delay the ELD mandate.